Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and it is one of my favorite episodes that we do here. It's a special with the people from Thai Atlanta. Stone, how you doing?
I am doing well. Good morning, sir. But let's catch up on the family news first before we jump into the Thai special, right?
Yes.
So we closed out the play at Riverwood.
That's right.
Big success, right?
Correct.
Standing O's for everybody.
That's what we were shooting for.
Dad's in town.
My father's in town. Got to see my kid do his play. Everything is copacetic.
All right. So you should be in a good mood, right?
I am in a great mood.
And so after the broadcast, we take Dad to lunch? Is that the plan? Because I'm getting kind of hungry.
That is the game plan. You know, lunch is an important part of each day.
All right. Well, then I will look forward to that. But this is going to be a fantastic segment. I always look forward to visiting with the Thai folks. So we have a lot of fun. We learn a lot. In this segment, we have with us a couple of folks that I think are in leadership for ThaiX, Bobby John and KP Reddy, and they have with them someone who apparently has benefited greatly from the program, and you get a chance to meet her in a few moments, Ritu, and I'm going to let her share her last name with our listeners because I don't want to embarrass you as you try to pronounce
Thank
it.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
But first, please join me in welcoming to the broadcast, Bobby John. How you doing, man?
Bobby John's over there. Good try.
Bobby John, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
So tell us a little bit about your involvement with this ThaiX.
I'm one of the co-chairs, and we've been doing this for 2 years now, I would say.
And KP Reddy is also a co-chair.
Correct, yes.
So now both Bobby and KP, you guys have businesses that are at a certain level that you can spend some of your time helping other startups. Is that correct?
Yes, so I think both of us have had businesses that we've started, some that are in progress. I actually got more involved with Thai and ThaiX because I was between things.
Between things. That means unemployed?
I call it a sabbatical.
A sabbatical, okay. They used to be called freelance or consultants. Now it's sabbatical.
It's a sabbatical when you sell your company. Okay.
So now, why don't we talk about, you have a company right now? Or no. you're still between things?
I'm actually working at Georgia Tech.
Okay, you're working at Georgia Tech. You had a company, you exited. Mm-hmm. And how'd you get involved in ThaiX or Thai in general?
Yeah, I was actually involved with Thai back in 98.
Okay, for a while then.
For a while. It actually started because there was an article in the Atlanta Business Chronicle around Thai and indicated that we all knew each other and we were doing this.
And you weren't aware of it?
We didn't know
each
other.
You didn't get the note?
No, exactly. So actually, Raj Palaniswamy, the current president, reached out and said, hey, they wrote an article about us knowing each other. Probably a good idea if we actually do know each other.
So now, at that time, Thai was primarily, it was for people that were Indian?
It was mostly people of Indian origin.
Right. But it's evolved since that point, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's. I mean, there's still remnants of that, but you know, it's much more of a broader audience and Atlanta community focused.
So now, when you joined, you were part of a venture that was ongoing, and
right?
And you were going to just kind of meet other folks around town. Like, what was your intention?
I actually started off as a charter member or mentor. So the key tenets of Thai is really that we all give back. So it's really more of a give back versus a go try to get business done. Uh-huh. It's really about us giving back to the community to help startups and help them be successful.
And then so you did that, your company was successful, and you exited.
Yes.
And now you've just accelerated the giving back?
Yeah, so that was back in my first company we sold, we took public in 99, mm-hmm. and then took some time off. Another sabbatical.
And it seems like that's an important component to your life.
If you've done a startup, it's lots of sprinting, right?
Sprinting, rest.
Exactly.
You're like a cheetah.
Yeah.
So there's ideation. This is a big part of. Back up a little bit and give us mission and purpose of ThaiX, I guess.
So one of the biggest, you know, I think the number is something like 98% of startups fail.
And is it 98?
Yeah, it's very high in terms of this tech startup.
Are you an inspirational speaker as well?
Yeah. I usually start with the bad news, and then we lead into
to
the
be
good
like
news
2%
later.
Of startups succeed.
Yeah, exactly. And most of it's just because people have an idea. They stay within their own head or within their circle and don't really go out and talk to others about the idea. And especially with Thai, we tend to have a lot of technology-based founders. So, you know, guys that write code. and they think they've solved some big problem. They just don't understand like what that problem's worth or if anyone cares.
Right.
So the key tenet is about ideation, and the program is to kind of get out of the building and go talk to lots of people and make sure that your good idea is a viable idea before you go invest, you know, 18 months of your life and money and your grandmother's life savings into starting your company. It's probably a good idea to know if you have customers and that people will actually buy it.
And then so part of the TIEX program is to move them outside of their own head and into actually a customer's office.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, so it's definitely the key message is get out of the building.
Mm-hmm.
You don't solve anything in your own four walls. So it's highly structured around how they evolve their thesis around their business, their hypothesis, and how they test it in the marketplace. And I'd say that probably the first couple of classes are lecturing and teaching. After that, it's really kind of driving accountability. So if you tell someone, hey, you need to go meet with 25 people this week, and they agree to it, and when they show up next week, the first thing we ask is, how many people did you meet with, and what did they say, and what did you think?
Right.
Lots of people want to be entrepreneurs.
But work part gets in the way.
The work part, yeah. And then, by the way, life gets in the way, right? So Atlanta, we definitely have, I would say, a little bit more of a mature entrepreneur that have, you know, 2.5 kids and soccer practice and all of that.
Right.
So they're always happy to see me for the first 2 minutes of class. And then it quickly goes downhill from there.
They don't like the hold me accountable part. Isn't as fun, right? As right. The, write my idea on the wall and tell you how
exactly.
Smart I am.
They're enamored with the sabbatical part, I'm sure. So are there qualifications, minimum criteria to be a candidate, a participant in this program, or how does that piece work?
Really what we do is it's open to all the members of TIE. And really what we focus on is commitment, because it's you know, a 6-week program. If you miss a class, you know, we just want to make sure people are serious about their endeavors and it'll show up. So.
And what is a class? Is it an hour? Is it 2 hours?
It ends up being about 2.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
We usually end up going longer just because that's just how things work. People have more time, but yeah, usually it's usually 2 to 3 hours.
So now, Bobby, you're part of this crew,
mm-hmm.
and you're a coder, right? Or your company's a coding company?
Yep, I'm a computer engineer.
So now, do you run into the problem that KP was talking about? You have lots of ideas, and the customer input is secondary?
I think because we do custom development for a lot of people with ideas,
right.
So they have an idea and they come to us to get it built, we see this problem a lot where they believe that you just build it and they will come.
That's not true.
Not at all.
Have you ever seen that happen?
Never.
Never.
Now, you're a co-chair now, but were you a participant prior, or how did this evolve for you?
Similar background as KP. I had a business that I sold in 2000 and then moved to Atlanta.
And how long was your sabbatical?
He's still on it.
No, 1 year. I did an audio engineering degree in between.
Oh, really?
Fun of it. Yeah.
So what kind of mistakes are we making already?
No. You guys are doing great.
Keep your eye on Kevin. He's watching you, Kevin.
So now, as co-chair, what is life as a co-chair of TIEX like? What's your day-to-day?
Well, I don't know. There's, you know, like everything, it goes through sprints. So leading up to the program, it's always about recruiting and making sure that people are serious about attending. You know, you always go from, oh my gosh, nobody's showing up, to there's a ton of people that want to show up. So that tends to be pretty intense, trying to get, you know, the teams fielded.
Right. So it's a 6-week window of time. Is that a rolling 6 weeks? So there's always something happening, or is it like, you know, 3 times a year, 4 times a year? How's that?
So historically, it's the 6 weeks are every Monday. So it'll be, you know, unless there's a holiday in between, generally 6 weeks in a row. And there's two sections of the program. One is ideation, and the second one is more about customer discovery and execution.
So then the program's 12 weeks?
Right. So.
And then so that happens just one on top of each other. So it's 6 weeks of the ideation, then startup, then ideation, then startup.
Exactly. Yeah, ideally you're going through ideation to vet all the ideas you have. I mean, ideation is definitely more of a disciplined process than people think. They think of brainstorming and ideation as just some, you know, random whiteboarding session.
Right.
There's method to the madness. So the ideal situation is you spend six weeks through ideation, vet your idea and then focus in on an idea and then go through customer discovery to vet the idea to see if people actually want to buy it.
So customer discovery is part of ideation?
Customer discovery is the second
That's app. The second app. And then so in the first chunk of 6 weeks, how many people typically are in that group?
We usually have 10 to 12 teams.
And the team is what?
It's usually a team can be one person, but one person. But generally it's a couple of people. Usually there's, you know, the classic mindset is there's usually a business person and more of a technology person.
Uh-huh.
Usually people get together at work and say, hey, let's go start a company, and here's what I want to do, and can you write the code?
Right. So it's all tech. It has to be tech?
No, it doesn't. That's one thing that Ty is we're very good about. I mean, most of us have tech backgrounds,
right.
So there's a bias towards that, but we have all kinds of companies that come through.
And there's methodology, rigor, and discipline on this business of customer discovery as well, right? Is there
absolutely?
Because I love the idea, but I don't know that I would know how to go about, you know, visiting with a couple of dozen potential customers.
As a mentor, it's easy to say, yeah, go talk to 25 people, and they're like, who are those 25 people? Do you help them find the?
No, that's part of the program, right? So if I have somebody that says, I have this great idea for soccer moms for their kids, great. Yeah. Show up at a soccer field and start pinging people. You know, if you're shy, you're not going to be an entrepreneur.
Right.
If you're aggressive, you're not. You know, so there's a little bit of a gauntlet aspect to this that we ask people to step up and get out of their comfort zone. Because that's what it takes to be successful.
So now, after the first 6 weeks of ideation, how many people are left? You got like one guy left?
No.
50%?
Yeah.
It's like boot camp.
Well, you have to. It can't be 100%.
It's pretty close. Because
really?
Yeah. Unless they move town, they still have to see me and Bobby around.
No, but some ideas just don't pass muster like that. You know, a lot, you know, ideas are, there's a million ideas.
They pivot, yeah. A lot of people, they go through their ideas, they realize that it's probably not a good idea. And so they may not show up to the next customer discovery class. They might go through another ideation.
For a kind of a twist on the original idea.
And then some people, honestly, a lot of people have decided they want to be an entrepreneur, but they're not sure exactly how.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of our programs are about filling your toolbox with a bunch of tools, right? So whether you go through customer discovery and actually do something, at least now you know how to do customer discovery.
Right.
So I want to get Ritu into this conversation. Let's hear it from somebody that is – you are participating in this process right now, or you have emerged from this process, or
– I was in the class for the ideation piece.
Yeah.
And I was somebody – well, let me back off. You were just asking KP, is it all tech? It really is not all tech. I was somebody who was teaching dance, and it was Bollywood dance, the dance from Indian film industry. And I have been learning dance as a kid, in my college, and I've been teaching dance for fun, for hobby. And it was up to Ty who showed me the way of how to transform this idea of a hobby into a business plan. So, and like he was saying, that it's really hard to figure out who are the people who will come and pay for this. You actually have to go out and talk to them, and Ty made me do that. So,
well, let's go back to the beginning.
Okay.
So you were doing Indian dance, Bollywood style dance, and then somebody said, "Hey, there's a business there." Or you thought, "Well, maybe I can make money off of this hobby that I enjoy so much," right?
Yes. And
so, what was your in your head? Uh-huh. What did you think this business was?
I was teaching for free, and I was really delighted with it.
Right. You just enjoyed it. It was just something you were passionate about.
I
enjoyed it.
Right.
And you said, wow, that would be nice if I can make some money off this.
Oh,
and,
absolutely.
Right?
Yes, absolutely.
So that you can monetize this hobby. That's a dream of a lot of people. So now you thought of that, and then someone said, you know what? You should go to TIEX and then go through their program, and they'll help you flesh this out. Is that what? That's what occurred?
And that person was my husband.
Your husband.
Yes, sitting right here.
So now you have a regular job, right?
Yes,
you have your own life on the side. This is a hobby, a true, pure hobby, and you were doing it for the purity and love of doing it. And then your husband's like, hey, you, not me, you, should go and flesh this thing out. Go to TIEX and commit to 12 weeks of scrutiny and being held accountable, right? Mm-hmm. So you go to that first meeting. You're sitting around, right?
Yes.
And there's a bunch of tech people, because that's what they're a lot, right? And you're thinking to yourself, what have I gotten myself into, right?
Yes, totally.
And then, so they go around the room probably and say, what's your idea? Some form of that.
Yes.
And then are you nervous about this?
Absolutely.
You can't wait to tell them about this Bollywood idea.
I was very nervous. I'm like, these are all techie people.
Right. Why am I here? Right?
Yes, totally.
And KP is standing there in his Hawaiian shirt, fresh
right.
off a sabbatical.
Going, wow.
It was like a party.
Is there margaritas?
Yes. It was scary and intimidating and nervous to
right?
begin with. But then I figured out that they're teaching me a method, and it was not just about techie people. I could apply that model to my idea, to take it from an idea to a business.
So it resonated. What they were saying was like, that's like an aha moment, right? You're
exactly.
like, wow, this does apply to me. I do fit in here.
Yes,
right?
Oh, totally, totally. Very slowly but surely, it sunk in there. And
so now, okay, you say your idea out loud. And nobody laughs, right? They're all trying to get excited about it with you.
Yes, that's they were true. Very supportive.
Very supportive.
And not only that, they even found us mentors. They were instructors and they were mentors. And then there were people in the group who were also sharing their ideas and their challenges and their thought process of how to go about it. And they were also discarding their ideas like, no, maybe. And the mentor was helping them constantly. So there were individual teams and individualized support. And then we would make our plans on paper. And then they would give comments on it and sit with us and talk to us and actually give us a reality check, rather. That's the word. And I got that many times because I was like, oh, I can do this. I have done this. What's the big deal? But then when you actually go about talking to people, and then how much are you going to charge for this service? And are there other businesses like yours in the area? That's when you're like, oh, really? I got to be better. And what is unique about me? And what is my selling point? And how will I make it happen? How am I different from others? And that's when it struck that Thai is playing a very important role in taking not only people like me from ideas into actual reality, but any technology, any art form, any business.
Now, how did your idea change from the thought in your head when you walked in that room for the first time to, you know, several weeks down the road after you've met with mentors and had people kind of poke holes at it? Did it change at all or same thing?
If at all, I felt that it became stronger in my head. Because I was doing it as a hobby, I was very unsure that why would people pay me for it? This is so much fun for people and I get together with my friends and I do it. But as I started talking to people, just as Ty and KP was telling us, go talk to 25 people. I'm like, 25? Really? Seriously? What is he thinking?
So where did you go to talk to these 25 people?
I started with my friends and then colleagues. And then I go to a fitness school.
So tell us that first conversation you had when because they told you 25 in your head. You're like, that's impossible, right? You're saying this is going to be hard to do. And you go, I got to talk to somebody first. So you went to one person first. What was that first conversation like?
Yeah, I chose the easy person, let's say, because I wanted to get some support. Mm-hmm. This person had an idea of what I was trying to do prior. And they were fairly supportive, but they cautioned me. And they did point out the pitfalls. So it was a very balanced, and I'm like, oh, really, I should be looking into all of these things. So the more I spoke to people, the more the reality set in for me to build those risk management pieces into the business, that there is a risk involved, and that I have to plan for it. And how do I do that? And then as I would get these ideas, then I would put that down in my homework, in the business plan model that Ty had given to us. And I would make it grow every day night. I would sit and put my thoughts in there like, oh, the money piece. Oh, the logistics piece. if I would not have come to Thai, it would have been all haphazard in my head. But then they gave me a plan, and there were columns, and there was actually a workflow management in there on how to tie the pieces together and how to actually think about cost and revenue and loss and finally make yourself worth it and make your plan worth it. And what is your value proposition? What are you proposing to sell?
Now, was pricing part of this equation?
Yes.
So how comfortable were you with that? Because, you know, asking people for money is a little tricky for some people.
Right. I was actually calling some friends as well.
Do you ask them, how much would you pay for this? Because don't people say, well, you're not charging me now. Why should I pay anything for this?
You're right.
I would pick free.
Yes, you're right. Then I also visited some commercial areas to compare.
Uh-huh.
And then I called some friends in other states who were doing similar schools.
So now you're on this path. Now you'll call anybody. You'll talk to anybody, which is one of the great benefits of this, right? You got her over
exactly.
That, huh?
Exactly. No, yeah. Then I started my research just the way Ty had asked me to.
Right.
It was daunting at first.
Yeah.
But slowly I gained my confidence level and I said, no, this person is charging this much, so I'll charge you this much. And this is how the rate goes.
How rewarding this must be for you, KP, and your whole group to watch someone like this and just watch them, I don't know what the right word is, blossom, flower.
It is. I mean, part of, I think, when we talk about building community, you know, the teams that come together, they all still stay in touch with each other. They all have a common enemy in
right.
me, so they all get together.
you're the bad guy.
I'm the bad guy. So.
And then Bobby's the good, it's yeah. good cop,
you're
bad
good cop. You're good cop, Bobby.
Good cop.
But I think part of it, too, is you know, getting them out of the building to ask questions, but also asking good questions. If I call you up and say, hey, would you like to have more fun for $25 a month? One, that can be interpreted in many ways.
Yes.
and two, you'll say yes. Right? I mean, that's the
sure.
answer. So asking great questions is as much, and so really coaching them on how to ask questions around how do they spend their time, how do they budget for entertainment, what do they consider, you know, so you have to ask everything but the direct question sometimes.
Is that in order to come up with pricing specifically?
Right. And then even with pricing, you know, because, you know, it's very hard. People like to point to, you know, the Apples of the world of creating a new category, and there's about three companies, we, you know, can on one hand. So a lot of times people are looking at spend and how they spend their money. So you really have to understand how they're currently spending money and what they're doing. And sometimes it's a business of solving a problem. Sometimes it's a business of, in Ritu's case, was, you know, entertainment and how do you spend money. And, you know, would you stop going to yoga and then do this for exercise? You know, what's your real driver to making these decisions? So.
Now, when you're working in pricing specifically, if we could dig a little mm-hmm. deeper in that, is the inclination for most people to be like a value priced rather than premium priced? And is your methodology more aiming at premium? Like, where do you fall in the spectrum of pricing? Because pricing, a lot of it, especially like you come from a consulting background, right? You did
some,
right. No,
mostly startup.
Startup.
Yeah.
But when, like, a consultant to me, they can charge whatever they have the guts to look at themselves in the mirror and charge,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, it's a relative price. Like, you can charge, Bobby, for your coding $1 million or $100, right? It's what you can do with a straight face, right?
You could say that.
So how do you coach a person to come up with a number that it's profitable and they can absorb and take risks and, you know, have some failures right. and not go out of business? And also attract customers.
Well, so part of it's understanding their value, right? So what I kind of refer to as the value stack. You know, what is your value prop? What is it worth? And then most entrepreneurs just don't charge enough.
You find that across
the
board?
They all tend to do kind of cost plus. Well, it's only costing me $10, so it's
$11.
Yeah, I'm only allowed to make $1. And,
right.
and my view is, no, you're creating $100 in value. You know, same thing with consulting, right? You're right. Part of it's supply and demand. And I've found that the less hours I bill, the more I make.
Right.
Because if you create a supply issue, people will pay you. They'll try to get on your calendar and that kind of thing. But generally, most entrepreneurs just don't charge enough. They don't know what it takes, and they don't understand the value, and they're almost shy to charge enough money. You know, I'm more of the if it costs you 10, you charge 100, and if you can sell the 100, So what if you sell it for 90? You know,
right? But and once you've sold some hundred, now it's 200.
Right. Exactly.
Right. Yeah. But that's not how a typical starter entrepreneur thinks.
No, because they're so interested in just getting going, so they look at it more of as a floor. Like, well, if only it's only costing me 10. If I make 11, it'll pay for itself, right? So that's success versus no. Let's go make obscene amounts of money is more my idea. So, but with Ruthie, it was really interesting because it was her hobby and it was less focused on, margins and money. And I had to kind of turn it on her a little bit and say, if you want your message to get out, it has to be sustainable. So you have to make money in order to make your business sustainable. Even if you don't make, she's probably not quitting her day job.
Right.
But even if you just make a few bucks and that's all your goal is, you still want to get your message out and whatever your mission is, and that costs money. So make it sustainable so that it can continue on.
Now, is TIEX's goal to make every business that you work with to be a kind of a home run, like a VC is looking at it, or are you okay with the singles and doubles in there?
It's not our job to pick winners, right? That's not our role. Our role is to build a community that works well together. I think Ruthie brought it up. There's as much collaboration going on amongst the members as there is with the mentors and the coaches.
So what's a win for you in her case?
In her case?
Right.
Free lessons.
Yeah.
Or no, he wants to pay $100.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly. So, yeah, I think it's not always the first. For us, the mission is to give people the tool. So she may go off and do this, and, me and Bobby have done a lot of businesses. We'd love to say all of them were a home run. Some of them we call learning experiences.
Right.
No failures.
They're all learning.
And that is something that, it's really just understanding where you are. A lot of people don't know they don't know that they failed. They don't know what the learning experiences have been. And we want to make sure that even if they stumble, that they get right back up and keep at it, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's always the economic aspect. We'd love to say, hey, we created, this many jobs, and we do. We have a lot of those stats, and as a group, we're highly successful and kind of break all the norms around success. But I think really what we look at is our membership and say, hey, even if it doesn't work out, you better keep coming because we'll go do something else, right? Mm-hmm. We'll keep trying and pushing it. So a lot of it's more encouragement, and then really the big thing I push is the pay it forward aspect. And that is, hey, I'm we're all giving our time. So if I give time, there will be a, 2 years from now, Ruthie will be called on to maybe be a coach or a mentor for the next group, right? So we're really trying to pay it forward.
And that's built into the experience. They know going in that, look, you're going to succeed to some level and you're going to come back out here and help the next guy.
Exactly.
And it really is built into the fabric of Ty. We've interviewed enough people from Ty in the various programs to know that that's not just lip service. That really is the way that that they approach life and living. I got to ask a couple of questions about you and Bobby, though, because this seems like what a great environment to just mash up. I mean, if you go in, you get a business off the ground or you don't, you're still just kind of swimming around with other like-minded folks, and you may get together with somebody else that's in that cohort and then get together and do something else. You guys, that's kind of been your experience, right? You're out trying stuff. He goes out and sells it and comes home to you and says, okay, here's what I sold, Bobby. I need you to make it. Is that how that works?
Yeah, could work like that.
That's the way you two strike me. Is that the way it goes?
Have you ever worked together?
We have not yet.
We have not yet.
Yeah. Is that something about that? Bobby? What?
No, I'm still intellectually honest about it. So.
He's still sabbatical.
He's wanting to work hard. I just don't know that I want to work that hard.
But no, there's some truth to this, right? There's folks in this environment that there's all kinds of opportunities probably to collaborate and do all kinds of cool
stuff.
Sure,
we bounce ideas off each other and probably treat each other just like we would someone in the program. Definitely. And then being around the program participants generates a lot of energy and in a lot of ways encourages us to go and practice what we preach.
Now, talk about how you match up the person with the idea with a mentor that has the appropriate skills that are going to move the ball for them. Because, like, if somebody like Bobby comes, he's a coder, and maybe the participant doesn't need a coder. They need, somebody who knows about selling sailboats. Like, do you have a network that matches up this individual with somebody that's going to help them the most, or how does that part of the work?
The challenge with our team is we're all entrepreneurs, so entrepreneurs kind of have seasons, right? So you get really busy, you're selling a company, and you disappear. You're all, you know, and you're just not available. And then you sell it.
And then you're available.
And then you're available, right? So we all go through certain cycles. So the biggest thing is availability. But we have a great pool of mentors and charter members. And we all can just send the email out and say, hey, does anyone know somebody with X experience? And usually there's a referral always there. We also have great sponsors. You know, when you deal with your sponsors and they're part of the fabric of the community, they're also a great resource for us. A lot of times where, you know, especially if they're an accounting firm, they may have tons of customers that they can help us as well. So
like if they one of your participants needed to reach a certain group of people and they're having trouble finding people to talk to and they're 25, you reach out to the sponsors to help them, or it's all on the...
No, I deliberately don't help them. I deliberately don't, because that's part of the rite of passage, is that you have to be able to get out there. I mean, I've encouraged, we had one group, he's like, how do I get in front of these folks? I said, go stand in front of a Walmart. If you want it, you want it. If you're not willing to go stand up in a Walmart and ask people and approach total strangers,
you don't want it enough.
Then you don't want it enough. Keep your day job.
That's awesome.
So how realistic is this? Do you envision yourself in a few months' time, year, whatever the timing is, to actually participate as a mentor and help in that regard?
Yeah, where are you at now?
Can you see that yet, or are you just so focused right now on getting your own thing going?
Well, yeah. I am starting my own thing right now. Starting a little dance studio called Live Your Dream. Because it's my dream, it has been my dream, and I will be finally living it. And surely, because I have been helped in this venture, if an opportunity comes along, if Ty needs me to help or mentor somebody, I will definitely be looking forward to that opportunity.
So surely. Now, what advice would you give somebody who has an idea on their own but hasn't really fleshed it out yet, and they're contemplating getting involved with TIEX? What advice would you give them?
They should definitely go to TIEX, because there is reality check there. My reality has been shattered so many times and built and rebuilt and strengthened. That is the key point, because I was living in my own reality. And then slowly, every time I went, there were even the people who were in my class as participants, instructors such as KP, and the mentors. It's a great team to be there, and they're very supportive. And but they also give you the reality check, like, no, this won't work. Let's try it other way, and let's go and talk to people. And that's when you start realizing that that you start realizing your self worth. Also, that's the important point.
Mm-hmm.
That, like he was saying, I could have totally undersold myself, and what I am selling is really a specialty art, and which I did not realize. I thought it was just fun and a hobby and go have fun and that's it. But then you realize, no, you can actually make money, and people will appreciate. There are people who would want to be in this for self-expression or maybe dance or fitness or learn a new culture. It's just a unique thing to sell.
So now, what stage are you at? You have a studio right now, or you're in the process of...
I'm in the process of building a studio.
Do you have a website?
I do.
And what is the website?
Live Your Dream.
Live Your Dream?
Yep.
Spelled?
LiveUrDream.
Just like it sounds.
It sounds.
All right. Well, we appreciate you being on the show and sharing your story.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Now, KP and Bobby, if somebody went to learn more about TIEX, where should they go?
Go to ty-atlanta.org.
And then you can find out information about TIEX and all the other programs. Now, we didn't talk about this, but is there a fee? What does it cost to get involved?
No fee.
It's no fee.
No fee. It's all about giving back.
So a participating company doesn't have to
member? They need to be a TIE member, which...
I think it's a nominal
fee. Fairly nominal.
And then once you're a member, then you have access to all this great programming,
exactly.
Of which TIEX is one of the programs.
That's great.
All right. Well, we thank you all for being part of the show. And this is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.